Open your Bibles again to John chapter 15. We are looking at verses 26 and 27. Jesus sort of shifts subjects for two verses. He has been talking about our testimony in this world. He has been talking about the world's reaction to him and how the world will react the same way to us as we testify about him. But then he shifts to speak about the Holy Spirit. Interestingly, there are some biblical scholars who believe that this portion was added later on by someone else, and because it seems out of place with the flow. And yet in reality, it is not. It is another paradigm, this time a paradigm of testimony. And again, it's another paradigm that speaks to the viability that we have in Jesus Christ. So, John 15, verses 26 and 27, the paradigm of testimony. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Two verses, two separate subjects. In the first verse, the subject is the Holy Spirit. In the second verse, it is the disciples of Jesus. Not just the 11 that were with him at this moment, for remember, Judas had already gone out to make preparations to betray Jesus. But every disciple since then, everyone who has claimed to be a follower of Jesus, everyone who has declared that their life is in Jesus, the true vine. So once again, the first subject is the Holy Spirit. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Second subject, his disciples. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus said, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. I don't know if you remember, but back in John 14, verse 26, Jesus said something a little bit different. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. In conversation earlier, Jesus introduced the coming ministry of the Holy Spirit, the one who would be their forever companion, helper, advocate, encourager, counselor. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. In his previous statements, Jesus said that he would ask the Father, and the Father would send the Spirit. Now he tells them that he will send the Spirit from the Father. Is there a discrepancy here? And does it matter how it was said? What do you think? This term, coming from, is one that we have heard Jesus often use about himself. In fact, it was central to our emphasis in our study last week, because Jesus used it in the previous verses. So this idea of the coming from of the Holy Spirit has historically been a thorny issue. In fact, it was the issue that led to the division of the Eastern and the Western churches in 1045 AD. It is this verse that is primarily the basis for what is known as the doctrine of the procession of the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit proceed from, that is, flow from, the Father, or from the Father and the Son, as the Nicene Creed was amended to say? Originally, it spoke of the Holy Spirit as proceeding from the Father. But then it was revised to say from the Father and the Son, and it was that revision that led to the schism between the Eastern and the Western churches. And so you had the Roman Catholic Church under the Bishop of Rome, and you had the Orthodox churches in the East. Well, it's not really within the scope of our study to dig into this whole idea of procession. And in fact, there is the doctrine of double procession. And yet, the causes behind this issue are important to acknowledge. During those centuries after the apostles, there was much debate about the deity of the Son and the deity of the Holy Spirit. If the Son proceeded from the Father, then he was less than the Father. There was the heretical teaching of Arianism that denied the deity of Jesus Christ because the Father is greater, the Son has proceeded from the Father. Well, it was an effort to assert the deity of the Son, who was begotten, not created, and the Holy Spirit who proceeds from, that led to the changes in the Nicene Creed. Really, the question that is here in John 15:26, when we're looking at this issue, is whether Jesus is presenting the eternal relationship of the members of the Trinity in regard to one another. Issues like essence and nature, one from the other, or whether he is simply emphasizing the ministry of the Holy Spirit in relation to revelation, which is what I believe that Jesus is emphasizing to us. When one truly listens to what Jesus is saying, a clear and beautiful picture of the Godhead is revealed. Now, we have heard Jesus unfolding for us this beautiful relationship that exists between him and the Father. The oneness, the mutual affirmation and regard, the deference that the Son has to the Father, the trust that the Father has in the Son. But what we see here as Jesus is talking is that God the Father, whom no one has ever seen, John emphasized this in his prologue, verse 18, has sent the only one who could truthfully represent him to the world. The only one, the Son who is himself God. Now, there have been many who came to represent God or to represent His message. But all of them fell short. The writer to Hebrews emphasizes this when he says that in various ways and at different times, God spoke through the prophets. But He has made a final declaration through His Son. Jesus is the full and final word about God, whom no one has ever seen. He is the only one qualified, the only one who could truthfully represent God to the world, because He Himself is God. The Son has absolutely and perfectly, that's what we mean by truthfully, revealed the Father. Remember, Jesus has said to us, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. With His return to the Father, following His atoning death and resurrection, which, as Paul points out to us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, is confirmed by the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit will, in turn, come to truth fully reveal Jesus to the world and will enable true disciples to truth fully testify to the world. It is indeed a beautiful picture. The Father loves the Son and has committed all things to Him. The Son loves the Father and desires only to please Him and do His will. The Holy Spirit comes not to speak of Himself, but to speak only of Jesus, who is the revelation of the Father. And this they do, the Godhead in collaboration, so that you and I might know the truth that leads to sharing in their eternal life. Oh, it is such a marvelous picture that Jesus has presented to us. Now, we have used that term, truthful spirit. Jesus said, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about Me. Why do we use that term? Well, we use it, first of all, in association with Jesus. He fully revealed the Father. It was a truth fully, or fully truthful presentation of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He goes out from the Father, and He will testify of both the Father, who is fully truth, and the Son, who is fully truth. In John 16 and verse 13, Jesus will say, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will only speak what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. Reminds us of the words of Jesus. For Jesus said similar things about His own relationship and ministry. In each of these chapters, 14, 15, and 16, when Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit, He refers to Him as the Spirit of truth. The mission of Jesus as the Father's one and only authorized representative was to truthfully represent the Father, to speak precisely the Father's words and to do exactly the Father's works. Jesus emphasized speaking precisely the Father's words in chapter 12, verses 49 and 50. I only say what the Father tells me to say and how He tells me to say it. The words that I have spoken are the words that the Father told me to say. In John 14, 31, Jesus said, I do exactly what the Father has commanded me to do. Remember back in John chapter 5, Jesus emphasized doing the Father's works. The Father is at work, I too am working. I watch what the Father is doing, and I do what the Father does. I don't do anything on my own. I only do what the Father does. In John chapter 17 and verse 4, Jesus will say, I have completed the work that you gave me to do. That word complete means to finish in its highest and most extensive form. To do it exactly. To do it fully. Nothing left undone. So the mission of Jesus as the Father's one and only authorized representative was to truthfully represent the Father. Again, there have been many presentations of God. But Jesus was presenting the Father exactly and precisely. The Apostle John said, we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father full of grace and truth. He was truth fully, just as He was grace fully. Full of grace and full of truth. So, just as Jesus came as the full truth of the Father, the Spirit comes as the full truth of the Son and enables us to be truthful in our testimony about Jesus. So here we have before us another paradigm. Jesus has been giving us these paradigms of viability, beginning with the vine and branches paradigm and the viability that is measured by fruitfulness. Now Jesus brings us to the paradigm of testimony. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. This is both indicative and imperative in its language. You must, in the indicative form, indicating that we will, because we are His disciples, but it's also an imperative. You must, it's a command. You must testify. As we have seen numerous times before, there is no doubt that John had in mind, when he wrote his first letter, many of the things that he had recorded Jesus saying in his gospel. The themes overflow from his gospel to his first letter. And in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6, John wrote, "We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." When we read that first sentence, we are reminded of what Jesus was saying to his disciples just a few moments ago. If they listen to me, they will listen to you. But if they reject your message, it is my message that they have rejected. If they hated me, they will hate you also. But John has tied those words together with what Jesus has now said to his disciples by saying, this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Whenever the message about Jesus is heard and listened to, when it is accepted and taken to heart, we know that the spirit of truth is present and at work. For there can be no understanding about Jesus and no receiving, no receptivity to the message about Jesus without the work of the Holy Spirit. John will go on to say in this passage that whoever does not affirm that Jesus is the Son of God has the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of truth. The spirit testifies about Jesus and enables us to testify truthfully. Just as a mutual indwelling characterizes the Godhead in unity and revelation, and this is something that Jesus emphasizes when he prays in John chapter 17, their indwelling within us is so that the world may believe that the Father sent the Son. So once again, just as a mutual indwelling characterizes the Godhead in their unity and in their revelation, their indwelling within us is so that the world will believe that the Father has sent the Son. From the perspective of the Godhead, it would be unthinkable that the Spirit would not testify about Jesus. Equally, it is unthinkable that we would not testify about Jesus. And you also must testify. And how does the Spirit testify about Jesus? Through disciples who are with Jesus. This is what Jesus has been emphasizing to us. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Let my words abide in you, washing and cleansing you, strengthening and enabling you to bear fruit, showing that you are my disciples. So, the Spirit testifies about Jesus through disciples who are with Jesus, abiding in Him, loving like Him, seeking to serve like Him. We have no greater responsibility and honor than to testify about Jesus. Likewise, there is no greater measure of the spiritual viability of our lives than our spirit-enabled, truthful testimony as His witnesses. There are many people who claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, people who sit in church every Sunday. And yet throughout the week, they have little, if any, relationship with Jesus through His Word. The fact is, it is impossible to have a full of truth or a truthful relationship with Jesus without the Word. The Holy Spirit inspired the Word, and Jesus would emphasize over and over again, "The Scriptures testify about me." He would emphasize this to the two disciples as He walked alongside of them on the road to Emmaus after His resurrection. He would emphasize it to all of His disciples as He was gathered in the room with them before His ascension, showing them how the prophets, the Psalms, the law, all the Scriptures testified about Him. Jesus said, "The Spirit will come, the Spirit who is full of truth. He will guide you into all truth." How does He guide us into all truth? By revealing Jesus to us from the Word. So once again, it's impossible for you and I to know Jesus apart from the Word of God, and impossible for you and I to know Jesus, to have a viable relationship with Him, apart from the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus through the Scriptures. One of the things that we see here is that the Spirit is Christocentric in His mission. He has come not to speak of Himself, but to reveal Jesus. Everything the Holy Spirit does is to reveal Jesus, to make Him known, to reveal to us His supreme worth, the greatness, the extent of His work on our behalf, to help us understand and to be captivated by just how full He is of grace, how full He is of truth. For us to be able to understand why He is the only way to the Father, and to be absolutely convinced of it and convinced why it is true. To know that there's nothing else and nothing greater for which to live than Jesus. And to know that the highest and most privileged calling that you and I have is to testify about Him. Remember the disciples standing before the Sanhedrin and saying, "We can't help but be witnesses of these things." So when you and I talk about no greater measure of spiritual viability, we see it here. If you and I have been truly captivated by who Jesus is, the full of truth revelation of the Father and the Father's heart that He has brought to us the love of God that he would want to offer his son as an atoning sacrifice so that he could satisfy the judgment against us for our sins and justify us, making us holy without sin. The Father who so loves us that through the Son, he wants to make us his children and make us co-heirs with Jesus. Ah, those are the things that the Holy Spirit wants us to grasp. Christ at the center. Christ everything. The Apostle Paul saying, I count everything a loss compared to knowing Jesus. I want to gain him. I want to be found in him. I want to be made like him. That is what gives our testimony about Jesus truthfulness. As you and I are made like Jesus, as the Holy Spirit shapes our lives through the testimony of the Word, as the Holy Spirit gives us the mind of Christ, as the Holy Spirit fills us with the fruitfulness of Christ-likeness, then you and I possess a Spirit-enabled, truthful, or full of truth, testimony as his witnesses. The Father gave the Son the mission and the work of being his witness, of representing him. Completing that work, the Holy Spirit has come to testify, to bear witness of the Son. Because it's only through the Son that anyone can know the Father, that anyone can have eternal life. And in that same succession, you and I have been entrusted with the testimony of who Jesus is. For that, we need the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. May it be our prayer, my prayer, your prayer, every day. Holy Spirit, I want to be yielded to you. I open the Word. Show me Jesus. Captivate my heart with who he is. Obsess my mind with thoughts of the worth, the value, the truth, the work, the merit of Jesus. Make me more like Jesus. Conform me to his image. I want my life to be a full of truth testimony for Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, all through the history of humanity, all through your word, you have been endeavoring to reveal yourself, to draw people into relationship with you. And finally, you sent the ultimate revealing of who you are, of your desires. You sent your Son. How we thank you tonight that we have the testimony of Jesus that leads to eternal life. The testimony of Jesus that makes us right with you. The testimony of Jesus that gives to us the fullness of a relationship with you, just as Jesus has with you. Father, thank you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, whom you have sent to reveal Jesus. And yet, we must confess that we often pay little attention to the Holy Spirit or give him little opportunity to reveal Jesus to us. Oh, Father, we pray that that would change. We pray that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better. We pray that we would yearn to know more about Jesus. To become more like him. For our lives to more reveal who he is, all that he is. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Reveal to us. Convict us. Lead us to surrender. Cause us to find the greatest delight in knowing more about Jesus and in becoming, through surrender and obedience, more like him. Lord, we don't want a deformed, dysfunctional testimony about Jesus. But we want one that is full of truth. Spirit of truth, do that work in our lives, we pray. To the honor and the glory of Jesus. Amen.